Good to have all the sisters together. The Lord is here. I don't know what it is when sisters come together. It always becomes more intimate. Anyway, it's good to be in a sisters meeting. We'll just look to the Lord. Some of you may have heard some of this sharing, and I'd like to touch some subjective things that has helped me very much. Of course, now with the Lord's turning us to every member in the body, you have to realize that the sister's portion, you will see, will be more and more involved than the brothers. Throughout the Bible, especially the New Testament, we have seen the words incarnation, right? That's a big event for the triune God. And human living. Crucifixion. Resurrection. Ascension. And of course, the church life. And we realize in all this occasion, the sisters are subjectively involved. Doctrinally, the brothers are very clear on it. But the involvement and the experience, the sisters got it first. And it's hidden. And when I begin to see this, it began to bother me because I was so doctrinal concerning this matter. Incarnation is surely an experience. For God to become a man, he needed someone that would absolutely surrender to him. And we can say a lot about incarnation, that God is mingled with man. But it took a little sister who absolutely surrendered her whole being. She did not count the cost. She just obeyed. Without a vessel like that, God could not become a man. The first stage of God's work came through a little sister. And of course, in any society, how would she explain the shame she had to bear? There's no explanation. Being in the recovery, we have to sometime be like that little sister. For the Lord to move on, you know, they ask us, what are you doing? He says, I'm pregnant with God. So I just thank the Lord. She says, behold, a handmaid of thy Lord. You know, be it unto me according to thy word. So that was a sister. It's clear for God to become a man, It couldn't be through a man. So I give in on that. I believe in it's Luke number 7, chapter 7. It's very strange. It was the sisters that took care of all the needs of the Lord. You know, it seems like the brothers get all the credit, but the sisters are always in the background. You know, when you give birth, the sisters give birth, right? The name of the baby is not after your name, right? After the woman that gives the birth, the father carries it, they congratulate him, and she's there. Wonderful, wonderful. And father goes around, yeah, yeah, yeah. And who takes care of them? The first cry, who takes care? The husband says, get your baby. So the men get all the credit. In Luke chapter 7, we see another sister who appreciated this slave savior or man savior. We brothers couldn't do that. She followed the Lord into the house. What did she do? Kissed his feet. I haven't seen one example yet of a brother kissing the Lord's feet. Her appreciation for the Lord was far greater than a brother's. And she said, if you knew who it is that is touching you, right? She was a sinner. I'm a sinner that touches you. The whole thing about sisters is they are not satisfied until they touch the Lord.
Amen.
I can give my wife all kinds of doctrines. You go, But sisters, they're just, until they touch the Lord, they are not satisfied. And the way she touched the Lord, surely I can. So subjective, so intimate. I don't think the brothers could sing 8:12. I come to thee, dear Lord, like your sisters sing it. Just to behold thy face. For this my heart doth cry. I deeply long to drink of thee, my thirst to satisfy. Lord, I would linger here, still seeking after thee. Continue in the word and prayer, till thou dost flow through me. I don't know, everything when sister sings, I just begin to cry. When brother sings, I don't get touched too much. So I rather sing with sisters. Didn't you enjoy singing the song together?
Amen.
Sometimes you need to sneak away your sisters and sing and enjoy the Lord together. Leave your husband's home. Why not?
Yes.
So there she used her whole being. Her tears, her hair, her kisses. You know, the hair is a woman's what? Here you come to the recovery. You wasted everything on the Lord. You know why a lot of women don't want to come to the Lord's recovery? They look at the sisters in the church, they take off. There's no world here. It's all wasted on the Lord.
Amen.
That all the glory you have, all the love you have is for the Lord. Not 1 ounce is for Egypt. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He's worthy to pour out everything. So, how about crucifixion? You know, the brothers were around him all the time. They heard him say that he was going to be crucified 3 times. It should be clear, right? Peter should be clear. But before he was crucified at Bethany, who strengthened him? Who? Another Mary. Amazing, huh? We have Mary. Here's what. And what? Another sister. What happened to the brothers? Oh, for the brothers here. That's why this is not a brothers' meeting. They all get. Three to nothing. She realized, she saw that the Lord was going to be the Savior. The brothers heard it so much, but she saw it. Brothers thought they saw it, but their action never came out. Any brothers around? That's why I call it a sisters meeting. You have to realize, without the sisters in the church, we lack the subjective experience. Then, surely in resurrection, okay, there should be clear, right? He says he was going to be raised up the third day. So here, a great event. The very God of the universe becoming a man, lived on the earth, died for our sins, was buried in the grave, and was raised to be the first one to experience him in resurrection is a big matter. Who was there? Again. I used to see this far. One day the Lord showed me again, it's a sister. I better leave this meeting. And her actions there, it's too much. What was she doing there? Weeping. She She ran, right? Verse 2. They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. She's like a desperate person. She wants to find out where did they lay the Lord. Right? And when she saw the angels, what did she say? 13, why are you what? Weeping, verse 13. She said to them. And what did she say? They have taken away what? My Lord. If I was there in an early morning watch and two angels came to me, I would say, brothers, I met an angel. But what was her fellowship with the angels? Where did they lay him? You're angels, but I don't want you. I want him. The brothers can have the angels. Give me. I want him. Where have they laid my Lord? She says, why are you weeping? And for a long time, I thought she wasn't clear on the resurrection. But to her, resurrection was the person of the Lord. Him. And that's where the Lord touched me. To me, resurrection was just a theory. Who would think the first one who would see him in resurrection was someone that loved him to the uttermost? That's why in the Old Testament, resurrection is known, seen as the what? Wave breath. And the breath is the loving part. Those who love him, touch him in resurrection. Praise the Lord. Then, in verse 15, Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? And then her cry was, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I will take him away. Where to? I can't believe this person. Take him away where? At this point, we realize she could not live without the Lord. The Lord was her person. If the Lord died, she died with the Lord. If the Lord is in the tomb, she wants to go in the tomb with him. She just wants to be with the Lord. And the brothers, of course, she ran, got the brothers. They were sleeping. The mighty apostles were all asleep. And they came. This is, oh, Mary. He's raised from the dead. Look, there's an empty tomb. They saw an empty hole, and to them, that's resurrection. It's, yeah, he said he was going to raise. See, he's raised. Let's go back to sleep. We brothers sometimes are satisfied with the doctrines. She, resurrection, was a person. I think if the Lord never appeared to her, she would have died. So the Lord was forced to appear to her. And In verse 16, let's all read this together.
And Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God."
She's the first one that realized she is saved. The first one in the whole New Testament that realized she is saved was Mary. And what did the Lord say? Don't what?
Don't touch me.
One translation says, don't cling to me. She was going to ascend with him to the Father. That would be quite a sight. So the first thing when he showed himself, I guess he stayed away. But she recognized his voice. Mary. Rabboni. And right away, don't touch me. She'll fulfill the prophecy in Psalm 22. And go tell my brothers. She's the first apostle. First sent one. Go tell my brothers. What a meeting was that. So, in resurrection, we are all regenerated unto a living hope. When Christ was resurrected, we were all saved. We were crucified with him. When he was resurrected, we were raised with him. But the first one who experienced this was Mary. And he says, go tell my brothers. That was the good news. If the brothers believed, they would realize they were saved. That's the first time the Lord used the word brothers. But in Luke it says, they thought she was a, what? Nonsensical woman. So he rebuked them. John says he believed by seeing the empty grave. The Lord rebuked them for not listening to the sister. If they believed in her word, they would understand they were saved. Then she went to the meeting. Verse 18, what does she say? What did she say?
Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to me.
What a testimony she had.
Amen.
You know, that's another thing. The brothers were in a meeting, right? Why were they in that room? They were afraid.
Yeah.
They were all in one room. Here was all the strong disciples. They were hiding in the room. I wondered, where's all the other sisters? Are they hiding too? They had to take care of the children. They had to do their normal things. The brothers were hiding. The sisters were still going on. Don't tell this to the brothers. I mean, it bothered me. And from this, the Lord touched me. To experience him in resurrection, I must love him like Mary loves him. Christ was her person. Okay. Another one, right? What about the brothers? Let's be fair, one half. They saw the empty tomb. What about ascension? Of course, the brothers saw him in ascension. But to me, ascension is coordinating with him through prayer. Prayer from Acts is those who coordinate with the ascended Lord for his move. And I believe if we go to Acts chapter 12, is that the place? It says the church was making prayer for Peter. He was in prison. Right? It says the church was praying to release Peter. Then, what happened? Where did Peter go? To the house of what? Why did Peter go after he was released to the house of Mary? Huh?
They're having a prayer meeting?
Yes. But Jerusalem must have had a lot of prayer meeting. The church, the whole church praying. Why did Peter go to that house? Because I believe it's that house that released him. Right? And Rhoda came to the door. She maybe prayed, Lord, you must release him now. And then the door knocked, and then she saw. She couldn't believe her prayer. What shall we do with this one? Half again? Zero? Okay. Again, the house of Mary. And of course, the church life is seen in John chapter 12. All right, you have Martha serving. Mary loving, and what? Lazarus sitting and feasting. Praise the Lord. It's 2-1 sisters. Especially now, you have to realize, I don't think this is a miniature of the church life. I believe this is the reality of the church life. Concerning house to house, the sisters play a big part in the church life. I would say 2-1. So the Lord was correct to produce the serving and the loving is crucial. Without the service and the loving of the Lord, there is no church life. For God's move to refresh him, to carry him on. For this move of the Lord to go on, the sisters must be in this kind of situation. You know, after the Lord began to touch us about the new way, my wife always used to ask me, what is my function? Did you ever wonder that? Yeah. I told my wife what she says. She said, Every time somebody comes, they get saved, this and that. She says, I don't do anything. I said, no, you do the cooking. In the past, that's all I could say, you know, you do the cooking. And she says, oh, I says, anyone gets saved through me, you get half and I get half. But I know inside, I says, boy, that doesn't sound good. Then I begin to realize, during the day, she has more time than the brothers. We have not opened up ways for the sisters to serve. So number one, most of you all have children, right? What do you do with them? Well, she told me, she said, we have one girl, and there's some other sisters in the same neighborhood. She says, we're going to send some of our children to this Girl Scouts. And I said to my wife, yeah, maybe that's a good idea. Then inside I felt, why can't we do something? I told my wife, you sisters could do something. So they gathered six girls together a year ago. And the sisters, I says, don't make it like children's meeting. Just meet their need. Bring up these girls according to how the Lord will lead you. I said, I don't know what that is. So these three sisters got together, prayed. I just told them, I was in Taipei, so I just told them to do that. They started, then I found out they got six. They sang together with the girl, they prayed, then they begin to, and all of a sudden, they got 12. And they got four saved. All of a sudden, it became a very attractive thing. That they have a close relationship with all these young girls. And one girl that was saved, both of the parents are Buddhists. But they see what kind of children they are that goes there, and they're happy to send them there. So the next step is we'll invite them. Have them call on the Lord just like their children call on the Lord. So, and then as these three sisters come together in the neighborhood to pray, there was just it was a sweet church life for them. And I realized they have more, I mean, most of them, a lot of sisters have children, they can't go to work. But doesn't mean they can't come together. They can pray together. And I realized, because of my lack of vision of not opening up this matter, I have really hindered the Lord for not bringing these sisters into the proper function. So every week now, they come together, take care of these. Then I said, I told my wife, I said, you think there are any sisters at home during lunchtime during the week who are bored with their children? Would like to come together and have a luncheon? And maybe some new ones too? That are tied up with their children? I says, do you think so? She says, sure. I says, why don't we get them together? So they started. I think about 6 weeks ago. And now, in that meeting, they have friends of four brand new ones there. Right away, they got the new ones. And they're giving them Bible study. I'm there just washing the dishes. I just... I don't want to touch it. You know why? I'll kill it. So now they're praying with four new ones. And then the sister says, we need to pray. They got another meeting going. The older sisters come together with the younger sisters. And I wish we brothers would pray like them. They pray up a storm. When we're around, oh, they're so nice prayers. But when they're together, boy, wow. They're not influenced by us. So when they pray, I keep away. There's so many things the sisters in the Lord can do during the day. So I told my wife, just, you have the freedom. You know what I promised her? I'm going to stick my neck out. I told her, if you can get a lot of new ones with little kids, you know what I'll do? I'll hire a babysitter. Why not? What if I hire good babysitters, take their children for 6 hours, free the wives for the whole day? How many women will they touch? Huh? How many will they add to the church? I think more than we brothers. All I got to do is hire babysitters. We have an army of sisters that we have not used. How many sisters would like to come once a week, free from your children, 6 hours, to pray, to fellowship, and visit?
Amen.
So I promise her that. I think she's going to wait. She's going to say, where's the babysitters? Or maybe I have to learn to babysit. Why not? Why not? If this adds to the church, if this builds the church, why not? I'm going to get out of my concepts. When I wash the dishes and my wife is sharing, oh, that's the time the Lord is sweetest in me. Hallelujah. It says, about time you shut your mouth and let your wife function. And now my wife is so happy. She doesn't ask me what's my function. And then she says, could you tell me? Now she's open to be that I give her some teaching from the Word. Before that, I try to share something. Ooh. How come all the other sisters enjoy it and then you your sisters have the same problem? But this has helped me very much. That my concept had to be changed. And I'm just looking to the Lord. If these sisters come together 52 times a year, what would happen? How many women is there in this city bored with the children at home doing nothing? We can change that. Anyway, am I off the mark or am I on the mark?
Right on.
Huh?
Right on.
You sisters have that kind of hunger?
Amen.
Anyway, I'm afraid to touch it. So, if the Lord used the sisters all the way through, do you believe now He would change? Huh? Would He change now? I think He would not change. How many would like to have a luncheon once a week where you don't have to cook. You bring your kids there and somebody will take care. And you sisters are free for 6 hours. And I'm going to tell the brothers in my neighborhood, after the sisters come home, take them out for dinner that night. Free them for one day a week. Why not? Huh? Now don't quote me. You pray for this. That's your job. You need to pray for this. I'm just trying to open you up. And I wish we practiced this 10 years now. And this one girl, she says, I go to a couple of Bible studies. She told the sisters, and they just read the truth lesson. She says, this is the only one that sticks to me. She's changing. And the sisters pray, fellowship, and you can do it. All the sisters did it. You can do it. I don't hear an amen.
Amen.
I believe you can do it.
Amen.
They do it much better than we brothers. You know, the sisters, I don't know how to, you know, when sisters come, oh, okay, where they say, we're the leading brothers, and sister come and they say, I'm bored at home doing that. I don't know what to tell them. I don't know how to help the sisters. But my wife knows. When they come together with the other sisters, they're so happy. I'd like to see the sisters in full function. I don't hear an amen here.
Amen.
Right? The church life is 2-1. And all that brother is doing is feasting at the table. Testimony of resurrection. The loving and the serving, much of it will be to the sisters. I would say this, my house, if my wife is not positive, I don't have a home meeting. It depends on the condition of my wife. Praise the Lord. The Lord gave me a very good wife. She let me go all over the earth. I say, I go to Taiwan. She says, amen. When she calls me up, she doesn't say, when are you coming back? She says, how is it going?
Wonderful.
And doesn't mean she doesn't love me and she misses me very much.
Mm-hmm.
But she has consecrated me to the Lord.
Amen.
So coming to New Zealand, I told her about 1 week before I came. Sometimes I came back from Taipei. I don't know when I'm coming back. I just got to come back when I can. I land in LA. I says, hi. She says, where are you? I says, in Los Angeles airport. She says, praise the Lord. I'll pick you up. If the wife is in the spirit and positive, the brother can go on.
Amen.
So you need to come together at least once or twice a week.
Amen.
I'd like to see all the sisters loving him to the uttermost, serving him. To break through first. I believe even this prophesying, I think the sisters will break through first. I don't think you believe me yet. The brothers will do a lot of talking and a lot of this and this and that. And the sister says, I've heard enough. I want the reality. Sisters, let's get together.
Amen.
Let's practice.
Amen.
But give all the credit to the brothers. Just like when you give birth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That our Lord has been incarnated.
Amen.
He lived the human life. Crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, church life. And right now, the Lord needs you, sisters. I really appreciate these days. It doesn't mean I didn't appreciate him, the sisters, before, but these days, I would say this. In our neighborhood, it's held up together by the sisters. Our prayer meeting, I go there. Sometimes I can't pray for 20 minutes. They're like cannon. That's why I have the freedom to come to New Zealand. I feel so good. Usually halfway through the meeting, I say, Saints, I'm going to the other neighborhood. We have some sisters are praying. Let me tell you what they're praying for. I want to give you some targets. I'm not doing something legal to you. You just go before the Lord. I've touched your high schoolers. They will not make it without a strong prayer by the church.
Amen.
You have to unlock them.
Amen.
We invited the older saints over, and this young college students made a dinner for them. They cooked for them, did everything for them. It was a very sweet time. And these saints, sisters, begin to testify of how some have prayed for these young ones who now are in college and solidly going on with the Lord for 6 years straight every day. Every day, they have brought these young ones up to the Lord. And now there's a group that's very solid. So they prayed for all the young people. This age is so strong, brothers. I mean, sisters. Forgive me, I can't break my habit, brothers. This age is so strong. Sisters have the ability to touch the Lord in ascension and to pray. I would say right now in our neighborhood is basically the sisters' prayer that's holding us up. They pray everything into existence. And we had some news and things were going around not so good. They kept the whole church there cleared. Just by their prayer.
Amen.
Their prayer has been just an uplifting to me. And they told me, they said, every day you go to Taiwan, we'll pray for you. Every day you go to New Zealand, we'll be praying for you.
Amen.
I said, amen.
Amen.
So we brothers sometimes get in jail. We get locked up by our job, locked up by our business, locked up by this, locked up by so many things. Our mouth is closed up. We don't enjoy the church life. So the sister's prayer must unlock that prison.
Amen.
And it was a house meeting that they were praying. So I would say the number one, besides loving him, I would say, and pouring out, is your prayers.
Amen.
Don't forget to pray for us in the U.S. We really need the prayer.
Amen.
Even tonight meeting, you must pray for us.
Amen.
You know, I didn't come here to give a conference. I came here just for fellowship. They told me what you're going to speak. I went to visit the churches and they speak. You got to speak. I says, Ray, I come here to relax and just fellowship with the brothers. Why don't you speak? Scared me to death. You must pray for those high schoolers and young people. Will you pray?
Amen.
Just pray and uphold them. I hate to see anyone get taken away from God's eternal purpose. You need to weep before the Lord for them. Weep. Why should they be taken by the enemy? They don't belong to Satan. They belong to Christ and the church.
Amen.
And some that are going to college. You put all your labor in. Children's meeting. Junior high. High school. Then they go to university. We can't lose them. We have to pray, right?
Amen.
All the sisters who will pray, you just say amen before the Lord.
Amen.
So after touching the high schoolers, we call high school, I must share you my burden. They will not make it without your prayers.
Right.
So, I don't know what you will do in all the churches. You can come together once. I don't know what you'll do. I won't give you the details. But you could. I found out some locality, the sisters call each other on the phone. How many do that? And pray with each other. Some are too far away from each other. I think it's your Plymouth. They're so far away, they call each other, fellowship with each other, and use the phone to pray over. That's very good, huh? That's the right way to use the telephone. Huh? We are in a time now. We need a positive atmosphere of going on. The Lord is right at the point of a move. You see, the incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection are all the most crucial points of the Lord's move. And there was a sisters that broke through. So for this new move to go on, it will take you sisters. Your prayer, your positive going on, coordinate with the whole church. I believe, I feel the whole New Zealand is so clear sky. There's no problem. Praise the Lord for the clear sky.
Amen.
You all can go on. I just envy you. I wish I was here. Oh, Lord Jesus. I love it here. The small church like New Plymouth. Now it doesn't matter how large a locality is. You can practice what the Lord has put out. So pray for all the churches. Pray for the whole move on the whole earth. Pray for Brother Lee.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, I'd just like to open up a little bit to you. These things. I believe as you get together, the Lord will show you how to go on. And I just told my wife, just do it. I says, go ahead and make some mistakes. She just smiled at me. I'm thinking of some other things to do. And all the things I'm thinking about all includes my wife. Can't do it myself. So we need you, sisters. The enemy can use us to damage the church. But the Lord needs the sisters to break through.
Amen.
Chapter 11, our opinion can damage the church. Right? The opinion of Martha got into the very opinion of Mary. But we are here in resurrection.
Amen.
Without any opinion.
Amen.
We're here to go on with the Lord.
Amen.
How many would like to see the new way fully come into existence?
Amen.
For the first time, sisters, we have a practical way to fulfill God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
So we need a lot of prayer for this prophesying, right? Perfecting, etc. We can perfect each other. I would recommend those books. There's a lot of truth in there. There's a good section also in the last one from Taipei on contacting the Lord every morning. Be a Mary. Touch him in the morning. And he'll tell you, go tell my brothers. And whatever you tell, that's your prophecy. Soon as you touch him, that's your capital to work with. Amen.
Amen.
I come to thee, dear Lord.
Amen.
My heart does thirst for thee.
Amen.
Of thee I eat, of thee I drink. Enjoy thee eternally. That's why I like about this song. It's so subjective. We need your subjective experience in the church. If you need to weep in some meeting, go ahead. It's so hard for us brothers to weep. We just don't have any weeping ability. We just get clear in the head, that's good enough. I couldn't weep like Mary. One translation says, she was wailing. I says, Lord, that's too much. But the Lord never said that's too much for him. Religion says it's too much. Let me show you another sister. Acts chapter 20. Let's read from verse 18 to 28. Okay, let's read it. And when
they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you all the time, serving the Lord as a slave with all humility and tears and trials which came upon me by the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that
going house to house. That means every house. And he said that, verse 19, serving the Lord as a slave with all humility and tears. He even poured out his tears that the Lord would have his way. We're just slaves. And praise the Lord, you sisters, you can have the house to house. Every day you can have fellowship house to house.
Amen.
To fight for the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Fight for everyone.
Amen.
Don't let anyone go. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah for sisters that can weep. Since we brothers can't weep, Brother Lee says, if you can't weep, you can't be a good apostle. So, I have a hard time being an apostle. So you must be the apostles. You can't be the eldest, but you can be the apostles. How about tomorrow morning when the Lord touch you well in your house? It's scriptural. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when the husband comes home, you just feed him some rich Christ.
Amen.
That will change their whole life.
Amen.
Right? How, what condition you are in really helps the brothers. That's why I like the Bethany church life. Shall we pray for the Lord's recovery?
Amen.
Huh? Okay. I'm sorry. I better stop here.